Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today we're going to talk Dublin, and not just talk about it, but we're going to see it in action. So today I'm joined by Ian and Adam. Guys, welcome to Endpoint TV.
Fantastic to be here.
Yeah, so Ian, tell us about yourself.
So I work on the Dublin team, mm-hmm. with particular focus on the monitoring and troubleshooting tooling.
Okay, yep. And Adam?
So I also work on the Dublin team, and I work particularly on the kind of behind-the-scenes features that make monitoring work. That allow us to build the tooling.
Okay, so now some people are being like, Dublin, what are they talking about? I've actually been to Dublin. It's a nice town. This is a code name for a project, you know, and code name means just like, we haven't totally figured out what the name might be in the end game, but give me the brief, you know, 30-second overview. Dublin, what is it?
So basically, Dublin is a set of tools that we've built on top of .NET 4 to give you visibility into your WCF and workflow services. So we've made a lot of improvements in the framework. We've built a great UI set for tooling. And the goal is really to improve that experience that customers are used to when they're building their services back in .NET 3.0.
Okay, and so, but just to be clear, Dublin is really focused on helping you with workflows and services that are written in .NET 4. That's really the sweet spot of what we're focused on here, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally dedicated to .NET 4. So in a nutshell, it's the application server extensions,
yeah.
for .NET 4, WCF, and WF services. So it's all from, you know, persistence to monitoring to, you know, management, tooling that we build on top of that, mm-hmm. Visibility into health monitoring, troubleshooting, so the entire package.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so what's cool about this is that in the past, you know, we kind of said, well, here's, you know, the framework. You can go build services, you can go build workflows, but we don't really help you with anything beyond that. So Dublin's kind of taken us, giving you a place to deploy it to and kind of get a good experience with that, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, one of the key pain points and we've heard from customers is today, developers have to do a whole lot more work, right, to, mm-hmm. you know, even see what services they have deployed.
Yeah.
You know, what's actually going on? Is it running? Do I have errors? How do I deploy it? When I deploy it, can I manage it? Can I control it?
Yeah.
Can I, you know, see what's gone wrong, and can I troubleshoot it? And all of these tooling, customers have to build themselves today.
Mm.
So we're actually building that for them, so that they can focus more on building their applications rather than certain basic things that we can just provide for them out of the box.
Okay. So that we've decided that really the best way to get to know Dublin is to see it in action.
Yep.
So Ian, why don't you show me Dublin?
Great. So as you can see here, this is Dublin's mm-hmm. monitoring capability. And it pretty much gives you an overview of what's going on in your environment. Mm-hmm. So what services do I have deployed? What's going on? What are the metrics that are, you know, key to, you know, for an IT professional to monitor the services?
Now, so, wait, I'm looking at the IIS manager here, right?
Yes.
And Dublin sort of lives inside the IIS manager.
That's correct. So Dublin's tooling, we're pretty much building IIS manager extensions mm-hmm. To surface the tooling capabilities we have for Dublin. So what you see here is just like another module, any other module you have in IIS Manager.
Okay.
And actually, can show you quickly here that if I come to the feature view, you can see at the top that these, you know, modules are application server modules.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So I might have a server that has some websites on it, some web services, some workflow services, and these things are all going to live together in the same IIS, and I manage them in the same
That's
IIS
correct.
Manager.
You're managing the same experience.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to go back to the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And just see it load. So as you can see, the metrics populating, it's pretty much, the metrics are pretty much organized into three key logical groups, or mm-hmm. views, if you will. And the first view you see at the top is for persisted workflow instances. So if you have durable workflows,
yeah.
that's kind of the kind of information you want to see. You know, what's in my persistence database today?
Okay.
What kind of, are there any active instances? Are anything suspended? And so forth. So this is more like a live summary of the mm-hmm. data that you have. The next two sections we have are pretty much historic information. So what's been happening with my, you know, WCF and WF services over a given period of time? So right now we have the last 24 hours at the moment. And you can see here that, you know, in the last 24 hours, we had 56 completed calls, no issues, fantastic. WF instance history, again, there's been 58 invocations or activations,
mm-hmm.
And all of them have completed. So, again, no issues there. So that's kind of an overview of, like, an at-a-glance view of what's actually going on.
Now, this shows me in the last 24 hours, but you can see longer periods of time if you wanted to.
Totally. Right? So, I mean, for some people, they might want to see data in the last 10 minutes or mm-hmm. the last 30 days even. Okay. So you can actually change that. If you go here, there's some predefined you know, time periods. There's like 1 minute or 30 days.
Okay.
But you know, you could enter a custom value in and say, for example, you want the last 3 hours, for example. Uh-huh. Press OK, and the dashboard will reflect that of the last 3 hours.
Great.
Okay, so a little bit more I want to talk about here would be kind of the drill down experience within the dashboard.
Uh-huh.
So the first level before we even move away from the dashboard is to actually expand these sections.
Okay.
So if you're interested in, say, for example, WCF call history, uh-huh. and you want to see more about the completed calls, you can actually expand that widget. And there you go. So you can see that, you know, for completed calls in total, order processing was the busiest. There were 24 completed calls. And they're actually ordered by, you know, descending order.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you could see it for service exceptions if you had any, and also, you know, related failed or faulted calls if any existed. So that would be a brief introduction on how the dashboard works.
Mm-hmm.
And probably something else to put into context of this demonstration would be the services.
Uh-huh.
So right now we can see at the top right-hand corner that there's 5 services in total in that environment. And you could drill down on these services. And you can see here that there's 5 services in the environment. Click on one, see some summary information, and even configure it in certain aspects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool because, you know, today if I've got services deployed on my IIS server, I don't know what services they are, or what websites they're in, or, you know, I might have a service that's out there and I didn't even realize it, you know, is doing something. So this way I can see what all's going on in my websites.
Exactly. I mean, as soon as you deploy these services or applications, you actually see what services are in your environment. And, you know, because this is an IIS manager, you can actually view it based on the tree hierarchy that a lot of people are familiar with.
Yeah.
So you can actually, even for the dashboard, focus on, for example, document approval application and just see the metrics for the services within that scope. And today, right now, we have it for the service scope. So you see 5 services in total.
Excellent. Okay, so is that it? Is that Dublin?
I hope not. No, there's actually we've actually worked a lot, tried very hard to work on some other capabilities.
Okay.
Now, in the topic of management, monitoring, and so forth, another key kind of investment we worked on was troubleshooting.
Okay.
And we believe that, you know, our tooling is useful not only for the IT professional, but also for developers.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of our tooling, you know, our monitoring databases, our persistence databases will also be very useful for ISVs, for them to actually access the data directly if they wanted to build their custom tools.
Mm.
So we could run through an example and see how troubleshooting could work.
Cool. Let's do it.
Great. So let's see. We have 5 services here, and let's look at the document approval service.
All right.
So this document approval service is a durable workflow service, which uses Dublin's persistence capabilities. And a bit of introduction on this service. As its name suggests, this workflow manages document approvals.
Okay.
So what will happen is you'll receive like a document approval request, and it will forward that document onto the respective approver for review. Now the approver might look at it, it's great, signs off, and the workflow, once it's signed, the document is signed off, it will send a confirmation back to the person who made the initial request.
Okay.
And once that's done, the workflow will complete. So a pretty simple workflow.
Right.
So why don't we go kick off that workflow and see how that will work. So I'm going to open up this sample application, document approval client, and I'm going to send a document to Adam. So this morning, I just wrote a biography on Adam's life, and I want to make sure that my facts are correct, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to open this up, and adambiography.txt, and I'm going to send this for approval.
Okay.
Great. So I have a confirmation ID. So from my perspective, if I was a consumer of this workflow, right? To me, everything worked fine, right? I sent the request off, got a confirmation ID back, everything worked correctly.
And so this is an important point here because if this was just a WCF service, you know, we'd receive a message, we have to do a bunch of stuff, and then we can send a response, and that's the end of the story. But workflows can go on beyond that, right? Because there's more work to do.
I mean, human workflows within an organization might go for 3 months with multiple parties or stakeholders.
Yeah.
And each could take, you know, a few weeks or a few days to complete. So definitely a very long-running workflow. And that's where really persistence come in. You know, when a workflow is durable, make sure that, you know, we don't lose valuable information when something goes wrong.
Okay, so when we talk about persistence, what we mean is that the workflow has some state. You told it about the document and in Adam's name and all this and your name. And so it took that state, and it's persisted. So we suck all the state down into a database.
Yep.
And so at some later point, we can restore it back and resume, pick up where we left off, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, great.
Okay, so now I'm going to switch roles. I'm going to put on the IT professional hat.
Okay.
And, you know, in his role, I want to monitor the workflow, see how it's going. Are there any instances that's been kicked off and so forth? So I'm going to go back to the dashboard. And I'm going to refresh this dashboard. And hopefully we'll see an instance pop up, right, for the persisted workflow instance section. Okay, great. We do have an instance, but unfortunately, it's actually suspended.
Ah.
So something's gone wrong, right?
Okay.
Ideally, I mean, it should just be
you
active.
You have a bug,
or,
dude.
Yeah, I put a bug. It's Adam's bug. It's not my bug.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm joking.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you want to investigate what went wrong.
Okay.
Right? So the way to do that is the first step is you want to kind of see a little bit more information. Where is the suspended instance coming from? Is it a workflow A? Is it workflow B? Is it my document approval workflow? What is it? So I'll expand this section, and we can see here that suspended instances are grouped by service.
Yeah.
Right. So there's one, and it belongs to the document approval service.
Okay.
Which is the one we just kicked off.
Mm.
So let us go and drill down and investigate that a bit further. So this is one of our drawdown capabilities. This feature pretty much will showcase or give you visibility into the persisted workflow instances inside your persistence database. And there's all sorts of filtering mechanisms you can take, so you can expand this and change your filters, add in other rules and requirements for you to narrow down your search. But for the purpose of this demo, I'm going to click on this suspended instance. And you can see here that creation time was 137, so it was the one that we just kicked off a minute ago. And you can also see here that tracked events, there's 29 in total.
Mm-hmm.
So what that is telling me is not only is this workflow durable and persisted, and the workflow instance persisted, but we also have Dublin's monitoring capabilities enabled on it. So in the event of an error such as this one, we can actually go back, look at the tracked events we have on that particular instance, and potentially diagnose what could have gone wrong.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay.
So since we have the luxury of having this data, let's go in and drill down into the tracked events. So let's walk through this. So you can see here that here we received the message, we received the request, and then we created the confirmation ID, and then we sent a response. Which is why I could see a confirmation ID on my screen initially.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And then the workflow persisted. Now, after it persisted, it tried to send an approval email, I'm assuming to Adam, for him to approve.
Okay.
And it seems like that's when the error occurred. It occurred after that process. So let's have a look at what the error says. So I'm going to look at my details pane, and I'm going to look at my errors. So you can see here that there was a directory not found exception. So for the purpose of this demonstration, we're going to use folders in the file system to represent or simulate mail servers.
Okay.
So in this case, if directory not found exception, we're really trying to say that perhaps the mail server is down or it cannot be reached.
Okay. So it's kind of a recoverable exception, right?
I mean,
it's not like a bug in the workflow. It's just something in the environment's not right.
Right, and there could be many things that could have gone wrong, right?
I mean, sure.
Other examples could be I've tried to contact a service, and that service is down, and I can't continue my workflow.
This kind of stuff happens all the time, right?
And, exactly.
So you got to figure out what's going wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very useful to actually walk through the workflow because you know what's already been completed and what the persistence points are. So when you do want to resume or recover workflow, when I do recover it, where am I going to continue from? Right.
Okay.
What were the things that were committed, and what were the other things that I lost or have to redo?
Right. Right.
So, okay. So let's now go and correct this issue, so we can actually resume this workflow.
Okay.
So I'm going to let's see. The path says here, desktop Adam.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to my desktop, and you can see here there is a folder called Adam, but it's called Adam 1.
Oh. Okay.
So let me go and rename that.
There's your bug.
There's my bug. Yeah. So I'm going to rename that back to Adam.
Okay.
And what that's going to represent is perhaps our mail server's back up or things are working again. So let me go back to IIS Manager. And I'm going to go back to the persisted workflow instance page. And for that particular workflow, I think it's ready to go. So I'm going to resume it.
Okay, so while this is resuming, this is actually sending a message to the workflow through a control endpoint, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and the cool thing about this is that you can send this message through this UI, but you can also send it through a PowerShell script, right?
That's correct. I mean, a lot of these functionalities we're actually exposing in the tooling, uh-huh. You can do the same thing via PowerShell.
Well, it's important architecturally because, you know, this is something, I think you did this part, Adam, right? So you kind of wrote the back end, and you expose a whole bunch of scripts that people can invoke through PowerShell, and they can also, if they want to, just send a web service message to the control endpoint, right?
Exactly. So how this is working is to display a bunch of those metrics that you're seeing on the dashboard, mm-hmm. Ian's actually querying our monitoring database, which is gathering all sorts of information from the services themselves as they're running.
Okay.
And then to kind of complement that feature, all of these PowerShell scripts are there behind the scenes also, ready to query that data or control the instance.
Yeah.
So pretty much most of the things you can do in the UI can be done through PowerShell. And that's exactly what you've seen here. Ian's just essentially invoked a PowerShell script to resume that instance.
Now it says, Ian, it says there's a pending command, mm-hmm. resume. So these commands get dropped in a queue, and then after a while then they get picked up, right?
Yeah, they get picked up, and then periodically they get resumed. I guess in other words, the commands get picked up, and whatever command that is, will get executed, right? So if it's a resume command, it'll be executed on that, or you know, a suspend or a terminate or anything like that.
Okay, so there's some kind of, you know, time that might happen right away, might take a little while.
Yeah, and you can totally configure that as well. You can say every 5 seconds pick it up, or every 10 seconds, or every hour.
Okay,
so that's
what's the default?
I think default is 5 seconds.
5 seconds? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to the dashboard to see if it resumed correctly. So I'm going to refresh this dashboard. And there you go. So we still see that instance, but it's no longer suspended, and it's now active.
Okay.
And you can see here that it is of the document approval service, so it's that workflow. And things are working correctly now. So what we're waiting for now is for Adam to approve my document that I sent him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so Adam, come over here, man. You got to get busy and approve this thing.
Yeah. So. All right. So this actually brings up another interesting situation that mm-hmm. That we talk about a lot for workflow.
Yeah.
One of the main scenarios around workflow are these long-running workflows, and in particular, one type of long-running workflow is a human workflow.
Yeah, and humans are highly unreliable.
Exactly. In this case, we're talking about a document approval service.
Okay.
So we just fixed this end user's problem. So yeah. Ian sent me this document, and Ian doesn't even know there's a problem.
Right.
But let's say there's another kind of error, a human error.
Yeah.
Let's say Adam here takes too long to approve that document.
Yeah, so Ian's going, what's going on with my document?
Yeah, exactly. He should really be approving this right
and
now.
And Ian doesn't, let's say Ian doesn't know me, right? So he's not going to try to get in touch with me. This is some, you know, corporate network structure or something. And Adam's just taking too long. What's Ian going to do? He's going to call up his support, mm-hmm. and he's going to say, hey, I think your app is busted. I sent out this approval, and I'm not seeing anything.
Okay.
So I'm going to show how we can use Dublin to actually identify that kind of a human workflow problem as well.
Okay, cool. Let's see it.
Cool. So I'm back here at the dashboard. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine that there's a lot of data here, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to necessarily drill down through 50, 60 active instances, let's say,
right,
and try to identify this one guy's problem.
Okay.
So you noticed that the customer, Ian, in this case, was given back a confirmation number.
Right.
So, you know, previously, all the information that you've seen on the dashboard is retrieved from instrumentation that's put into the framework.
Okay.
And the framework developer didn't have to write any extra code to make that happen.
So all those events just came automatic.
Out of the box.
Didn't have to do anything. Okay.
Exactly. Now, in this case, what I'm going to show very quickly is what we call a tracking profile.
Okay.
In this case, the developer added a little bit of config that basically said, in addition to tracking all that other stuff that you're going to give me out of the box, also track that confirmation number. So now we're talking about app-specific data that's going to be tracked by the workflow, and Dublin's tooling is going to leverage that.
So you can tell your IT staff, you know, hey, if somebody calls about this, you know, just get the confirmation number because that's tracked for you.
Exactly.
Okay.
So here's how that would happen. Ian calls me up and says, hey, Adam, or hey, IT pro person, my workflow is down.
Okay.
And what I can do here is from the dashboard, I can just go right into tracked events.
Okay.
And this is just going to show me the most recent 500 events, and that's configurable as well.
Right.
So then I'm going to go in and I'm just going to update this query statement that we're going to send to get the data, and I'm going to leverage that. I'm going to leverage the fact that we can query on track workflow variables.
Okay, cool.
Now, the cool thing here is the IT pro doesn't even have to remember what the name of that variable was.
Uh-huh.
So Dublin will actually populate a dropdown with all available things to query on. In this case, the confirmation number.
Okay.
So at this point, Ian can go ahead and give me that number, and I'll just type it in now.
I should remember that number.
I love numbers like this, so easy to remember.
Yep. And now I can refresh that query, and any event that is stamped with that number is going to become is going to come back to me. And the way we can see that is, for example, we'll click this event over here. When we go over to track variables, we'll see that confirmation number as a track variable.
Okay.
So now, cool. We found some events that are stamped with this ID. A really cool thing we could do here is view the related workflow instance that corresponds to that. So now we see, this document approval order is in progress. Great. Now I can even get more specific and leverage tracking to be able to tell Ian exactly where that workflow is. So again, we'll leverage the viewing of tracked events feature.
Okay.
And it'll bring us back to that tracked events page that we've seen before. And with just a minimal amount of diagnostics here, I can see that we're going to delay, check approval, wait for approval, delay, wait for approval. And basically, when I see this, this is telling me we're just sitting here waiting for Adam to approve that workflow.
Oh, okay.
So now I can say, hey, Ian, you know, this guy Adam you're waiting on is just taking his time.
Okay.
So what I'll do now is I'll actually simulate the approval process.
Okay.
And we should see this problem just go away. So this represents that mail, that the document that I have to approve right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically going to drop it into this approvals folder, and that's it. So now on Ian's end, we can take a look at Ian's mailbox here. And there we go. Adam approved your document.
Nice.
So okay. Dublin was able to not only fix the actual failure that occurred in the workflow, it was able to identify a human error as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, there are different ways to navigating the UI for doing that.
Yeah.
For an error, it's in your face. There's an error here. You can click on the dashboard and navigate to it.
Okay.
For a more subtle error that's not an exception or something like that, we had to find it. And we were able to leverage application-specific data to do that.
Cool. All right. So Dublin totally rocks. It's available for download, the beta 1, after PDC. So, by the time people are saying this will probably be available, we hope, unless anything goes wrong and then you're fired. Okay.
Thanks, Ron. That was helpful.
All right. So be sure to check out Dublin, and we've got some great resources for you on the web as well. Hey, thanks for joining us on Endpoint TV. We'll see you next time.